Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. Seth and James here with you today. Thanks so much for joining us on a Monday edition of Playmakers, coming out of a very big sports weekend. And I have that on my script. I can say that after every weekend. That's sports nowadays. That is
all
sports.
All the time.
24/7. Never enough sports. We're here to take your sports thoughts and feelings. Give us a call. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Call up and join the conversation. 715-424-2600. If you're listening on the Civic Media app, thank you so much for downloading the app. Go ahead and give us a call and join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. We will take the conversation anywhere you want to, everybody. We're able to do that thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Pitching, getting your words out here in Rapids. Phil will be joining us this Wednesday with a Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday in our morning show, around 8:45-ish. Be sure to join us for that, everybody. And buy local, support local, support those that support us. We will talk rafters a little bit later. The Jordan Love contract drama, that soap opera has ended. Want to hear how you all feel about it? Also got some great things going on with other, of course, the Olympics and some of that. But I want to start with the MLB trade deadline. And what this means, you know, for teams, both buyers and sellers. And I certainly want to get into what it means for the, you know, the Milwaukee Brewers and that. Seth, we're here now, and let's assume if anybody needs an update on the trade deadline or moves or anything like that, that's a perfectly fine thing.
Yep, right.
Call up and let us ask, you know, ask us and we'll let you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But for you right now, Seth, assuming that our audience knows is an up-to-date on all the trade deadline information. And I thought I was coming in with some wicked hot news. I was going to come in. I have a great article from an upstanding sports writer about how the Milwaukee Brewers are in the running and the number one team for Eric Fetty. And then an hour ago, he goes to the darn Cardinals.
He got swiped. Got swiped to the Cardinals in a three-team deal, which included the Dodgers. And everyone looks like this one is more. Everyone got something they wanted on this one. It really
except
looks
the
like
White Sox. Except the White Sox.
although they got a decent player in Vargas. You know, he's a major league ready player, and then they got three prospects as well, which is where the White Sox are going right now. I can guarantee they're going to be loading up on the farm system here.
And that's where I want to go. Now I do think that there's some more interesting places, and let's go ahead and find out where you want to go. Good afternoon. You're on the air. You're in the game.
Good afternoon, fellas. I'm in the game.
Yeah, all right.
How's it going?
Hey, you're just talking trade deadline. I was looking stuff up, doing a little creative research before the call. Apparently, the Brewers are kind of eyeing up a Rockies pitcher named Cal Quantrill.
Okay.
That's the latest thing that I saw. And I don't know if you had time to check it out, but about a half hour ago, Baltimore Oriole named James McCann was hit in the face with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball.
Catchers, yeah.
I did hear a little bit about that. That's rough. Hopefully he'll be all right.
He got up and he grabbed his helmet. They gave him a towel to take care of his bloody nose, and he took first base.
Just incredible. I love baseball.
Tough
players.
Guy.
To be fair, he doesn't get out there very often. He's gonna get his playing time. He's gonna get it.
Take any chance you can get, man.
I do wanna get your sports thoughts, but real quick, man, I do have to thank you for the cards. I'm glad you called up. I had some cards waiting for me Monday when I came in, and they were awesome. Pro set cards. I've got a Walt Weiss here, and I have not only a Jim McMahon, but a Randall Cunningham, and this may be my favorite Randall card.
There's
like a couple of them with him in the run position like that.
That's a great action shot.
Order and everything, man. You made my day, brother. Thank you so much.
No, I knew you'd appreciate it, man. I know you're a big fan.
Yeah, he's my guy. I'm such a Randall believer. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. That's how
you can make an argument.
Yeah, I don't think not first ballot.
I'll roll that boat with you.
There you go. All right,
I appreciate it. But what is your? Did you have any direction you wanted to go today? Anything on your mind as far as the sports calendar?
As far as the calendar, no. I got a fun stat and a couple fun questions for you guys to ponder.
Excellent. Even better.
Well, I was just telling you about the guy that got hit in the face. did you know that Jake Culler was sacked 250 times?
No, but...
Actually, 251, actually.
Oh. So well, 252 after this conversation.
I was going to say he gets sacked again.
Yeah. I'm actually not a huge Cutler hater,
right?
But I also don't disagree with any of his hate. It's this weird thing where
I'm pretty neutral.
Yeah, and I felt that way when he was in Denver too. It's weird too because I felt the exact same way when he was in Denver as I did in Chicago about him. But I don't dislike him. I didn't like him. I wasn't necessarily going to go to bat for him, and at the same time, I also saw some skill. It was a balancing act.
Yeah, right.
Hearing him being sacked that many times.
That's a lot of sacks, man.
But this made me happy in part because in the NFL, when a team is bad, and if you have decent management, not even good management, decent management, you can come back. We see it all the time in the NFL. And right now, as a Chicago fan, I have something in Halas Hall that I haven't had in maybe a decade or so. I have hope. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's actually going to turn into anything or not, but it's a lot more than most Bear fans have had in a decade or two.
It's not necessarily optimism. It's hope. Yeah.
And I flipped that to the south side of Chicago, where the White Sox are trading off talent left and right for a bunch of guys that we're basically hoping for. And you don't know in major. And my biggest question at the major league trade deadline, and I say this as a Sox fan, obviously, I want to show my bias completely in this. But how often, because I can't find any data on this, how often do teams actually get better from being sellers? From eventually down the line, these prospects work out, because that's what's supposed to be happening here.
Right.
It does in every other sport. But in baseball, I'm racking my brain trying to think of how many times. Well, I remember when they traded off their whole team, and 2 years later, they won the whole thing. Who did that?
Yeah, that sounds an awful lot like the Marlins, actually, except for they won it, then they got rid of their team.
Right. Yeah, they did that twice.
Yeah,
that was in reverse order.
I'm racking my brain trying to think of anything, because otherwise, all this feels like is the rich getting richer and the poor staying poor. And that's baseball 101, and it seems very lame and tired to me. And I cannot tell you how much I love the MLB trade deadline, the NFL trade deadline, the hockey trade deadline. I love these things, but this has had I've got a real sore, like a nasty taste in my mouth from this current MLB trade deadline, where it really feels I'm looking at this for the first time in a long, big perspective, and I don't know how much that if I'm a team of a Oakland fan, if I'm a Toronto fan, if I'm a Southside fan, any of these things. Where's my hope? Where is my I trust this management to be making very good moves right now. And look at these ace prospects, man. This three team trade, and granted, Fetty's not a number one prospect or anything,
right?
But they gave up Kopech, they gave up him, and they're bringing in the number 17 prospect in the LA Dodgers farm system. Yay! Where's the hope? I don't know where you're supposed to go as a fan.
Not to change it up completely, but did you guys see that Prince Fielder's son was signed to the Brewers?
No,
I did
awesome.
See that.
That's
yes.
awesome. That did see that. That's really cool. Yeah,
that would be a rare three generation. If he gets to the big leagues, that's a rare three generation. That's only happened a couple of times. So
Ripkins?
The Boones.
They're brothers.
The Boones. Yeah. It was Ray. Then it was Bob, and then it was Aaron and Brett.
Yeah, so. not the Santiago's either.
No. Or the Alomars. Yeah.
Or the Alomars. I was thinking of that one.
Yeah.
What were your other stats, bud?
Brett Favre was a sack 525 times.
Yeah. I believe
he ran into sacks, man.
I believe it's the record.
I think it is.
Oh, but my two questions for you to ponder is. At what point does a jersey become a throwback jersey? Is it when the team moves? Is it when the player moves on from said team? How many years do you give it?
Wonderful question.
That's a good one.
Wonderful question.
Yeah.
And this one, I might have already asked you, but both of you, it's for both of you. Would you rather throw out a bad first pitch or butcher the national anthem?
Ooh.
Bad first pitch.
Excellent questions. Oh, we're going to answer them so we can keep the phone lines open. We appreciate you, man.
All right,
you take care.
Cool, man. Hey, you guys have a good Monday, all right?
You too,
brother. You too. Appreciate you. And thank you again for the cards. Best listeners in radio.
Yep.
Phone lines are open, 715-424-2600. First question, where are you going with that one, Seth?
Well, the jersey thing, I would say, it's the waters have been muddied because of teams doing all these different uniforms now.
Yeah.
doing all these kinds of throwback, different, you know, like, oh, look, we're the Brooklyn Dodgers now, or we're, you know, something like that. So that's muddied it up for me a little bit. I'm always a fan of when they do the pan in the crowd of the fan wearing the jersey of the player who's no longer there.
Yes.
They still say, what jersey do I got? Oh, I got this one. Oh. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to put it on, you know.
It's only better if it's a random player. Yes. It's a guy that wasn't even an all-star or anything. You just happen to have his jersey.
Yeah.
I don't know if this will help for the answer or not, but I will say one of the things that I learned early on in my radio career at doing my own classic rock gig was in all technicality, by the science of things, that for the moment a song is released, 10 years later, it officially becomes classic.
Okay.
So that opened up the avenue for us to open up our playlist a little bit more in the classic rock genre and stuff. I don't know if this counts for a jersey, but I would be fine with that as a 10 years old. Jerseys 10 years ago are considered throwbacks.
Right.
Because let's be honest, I mean, the time is moving faster than it's ever moved, even though it is not no different now than it was 100 years ago.
Right.
But it is moving faster.
Right.
And with the way the jerseys change as fast as they do now, maybe there is a little more to that. I've put way more time into this than our caller actually was asking for. But you can't ask me any question and not get me to go deep on it and everything.
How about one of those guys that like spent like 2 days with the one team?
Yeah.
And then those jerseys are the good ones. Like Mike Piazza's Marlins jersey. He was there for like a week maybe.
I got you on this one.
Yeah.
I wanted a Ken Griffey Jr. White Sox jersey. I wanted one of those so bad. Maybe the only thing I wanted as much as that was a Bo Jackson White Sox jersey for a while.
Oh, man. He was actually there for a couple years. But still,
that one's more
everyone
more,
remembers him with the Royals. He actually had a decent time with the White Sox.
Considering he had a robotic hip.
Yes, exactly.
Considering that, Bo Jackson did. Even with that, I mean, I think that's noteworthy decent, and everything.
Yeah, he wasn't what he could have been. But
And the second question, I kind of have to disqualify myself because I've actually thrown out a bad first pitch.
Okay, that's right.
For the rafters. Again, shout out to the catcher because he got the ball and he made me look good, but it was way high. That was a ball, baby. That was a ball if there's ever been a ball thrown in baseball history. So they made me look good. The national anthem part, I am too much of a homer. I'm way too much of a lover of this country and stuff, and I would never be able to look like my family in the eye afterwards and stuff. But I would, in my defense, I would say, why did you put me out there? Did you have nobody else? Nobody.
First rap version of the national anthem.
The first spoken word version of it. Because I would even be
like William Shatner.
I wouldn't want to dishonor hip-hop.
Say, can you see?
Oh, say, can you see?
Yes, it would be the dawn's early light.
I would be back and during it, while I was doing it, I would be hiring a publicist and apologizing to them at the same time. On my phone,
real
as
sorry.
I'm singing.
Real sorry about this.
How to find publicist? How to get yourself out of hot water?
All right. Couple of things here. Okay, so the bad pitch only lasts for a little bit. Now, it should get some comedy, you know, after it's been recorded and people will play it back over and over and over again. But hey, it's funny. That's ruining the national anthem, we have found, not funny.
No.
At all.
No.
Okay,
no.
Remember the whole Roseanne Barr? We still talk about that.
Still the first thing I think of. It's
and
still
then
the, first
the
one.
Recent thing we had at the Home Run Derby. So that's bad. Mm-hmm. That's not a good thing at all. So definitely, I'd rather throw out a poor first pitch.
Absolutely.
Second thing. So there was a Twins radio announcer. His name was John Gordon. Him and Herb Carneal were together for many, many years. And every time he mentioned the person who threw out the ceremonial first pitch, it was radio, and he said, so-and-so threw out the first ball, and it was a strike right down Broadway. Every single time he would say that. Of course, we didn't know.
Yeah.
Because it's radio.
That's fantastic.
But I love the idea. It's like every time it's a strike.
That's great. That's good announcing. That's a good announcer right there. What I was saying before about the MLB trade deadline, how much do these teams get better? We already know, in theory, that the buyers are going to get some. Yes. But do teams get better from these prospects?
Right.
I tried really hard overnight, even this morning, and even a little bit before we went on air, just trying different search engines, just trying mm-hmm. different reporters, and I could not find any data on this. So there is no, to be fair, no yeah. data to tell us one way or the other.
That's really hard to measure, but I'm not surprised that there's nothing out there.
It's a fair, even with baseball and it's how crazy it is about stats and numbers and everything, it's not too surprising.
No.
But it is still... I can't let go of the thought. It's haunting me because I really love baseball.
Yep.
And one of the things that I always thought baseball, one of the things that keeps me from like baseball being my number two sport or something like that, is some of these things like the no salary cap. How much is it true that any team can really truly be great? Some of these other factors that I think we kind of almost. Much like a lot of things in baseball, these things that we just accept because, well, it's always been that way.
Mm-hmm.
Guy hits a home run, throws his bat. Of course he's going to get hit when he comes up next. That's just baseball, even though it's stupid. Oh, you just showed me up? Well, I think the best way to handle this is to put you back on base. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, right. The quote-unquote unwritten rules, right?
Yeah. And for the quote-unquote logical game. Oh, baseball, it's a lot smarter than football. It's a lot smarter than the other sports. Yeah, that makes a lot of smart. Wow, that's just perfect logic right there. In fact, let me hit the next two couple of batters. That'll really show
Let's have both teams come out of the dugout and just stand around.
I'm going to intentionally walk you. That's how... Now you can't hit one off me. That showed you.
Oh, wait. Like,
that's
now you're
the logic
on base.
Of this. That's the logic of that we're talking about here. I marvel at a GM that has to sit there and think, well, I got to get something. I got now. Mm-hmm. Guy's on a one-year deal. I get that. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. But there's certain trades that, like for the majority of these, don't make any darn sense to me. I'm looking at these, and I think that the Jazz Chisholm trade made a little bit of sense for both parties. Certainly, I don't know because again, it involves prospects.
Exactly. And Jazz has an up and down year this year.
Yeah.
So who knows what the Yankees are getting for that? But yeah.
They're not even sure what position they're going to put him
exactly.
in. Exactly. The only and granted, there's a lot of time left here in trade news.
Yep.
The Cub-Padre trade, Tampa Bay trade. The Cubs and Tampa Bay trade.
Yes.
Is the only trade that actually kind of made a little bit of sense to me, even though I didn't like it necessarily because I didn't see either team getting better, and either team is really in a place to.
That was
really kind of
weird.
Anything.
Yeah, that was an odd trade.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Itzhak Paredes, I would say, at least right now, is a better hitter than Christopher Morel. But what are the Cubs? I mean, are they in it now? Is that what they're – are they going for it? They're at like 500.
Yeah.
Does that mean they're going to try for the wild card? I guess I don't know.
And
that's a great – that's one of the big questions I have.
And especially with what the move the Cardinals just made. And
yeah.
while the Brewers have made – they got that Puck, I believe, that is a middle reliever. They brought in
– A.J. Puck for – he went to Arizona, actually.
No, that's right. Okay. Yeah. I thought they brought in somebody, at least one
pitcher. They did, yes, but I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
So they bring in that guy, and they've got – so far, I still have seen – I haven't seen one move that is bigger than having – and Devin Williams come back.
Exactly.
I
for the Brewers,
seen,
yeah.
Not anybody, not the Randy Arosa trade, not including the Mariners getting Justin Turner, the Yankees getting Jazz, any of these things. I haven't seen anything bigger than, okay, well, Milwaukee's getting the best, maybe the best reliever, second, third, top five at least, best reliever in baseball coming back.
Yes.
I don't see anything bigger than that right now. So if I'm the Brewers organization, I do feel like I got to do something, but I don't feel like it's if the trade deadline passes and we don't get one of these guys or anything, I'm not as worried as I would be in years past because of the Devin Williams thing.
Mm-hmm. And you don't want to bet the farm either, literally the farm, because you've got lots of really good young talent. So, and, you know, this whole thing that we're talking about here, it makes me wonder. In past years in baseball, they never called it tanking.
Yeah.
When a team would deliberately lose in order to get draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, wow, it takes so long to develop them. And you don't know what you're going to get because it takes so long to develop college and high school players. Okay. We have seen teams do this and be successful. The Houston Astros. In 2013 and 2014 were terrible, but they did it on purpose. They did it so they could get the draft picks, and it worked for them. The Baltimore Orioles did the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They tanked for a couple of years, got the draft picks, and now they're like where they are right now, and they've got the best AAA team in baseball, right?
There you go. There's some examples.
So there's some examples. But the problem is that you make your fans suffer through those bad years for the chance to be able to do something good. Now, it worked out for them. It doesn't always work out. The Chicago White Sox are a great example of that. They were in the same discussions as the Astros and the Orioles. Look at these guys. They've got all these young prospects. And then it's going to be a great lineup. And they got some great pitchers. And it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason. Injuries. The players didn't perform like they were supposed to. That sort of thing. And now you're where they are right now. And I'm kind of thinking they're back to tanking again.
Yeah,
I really think that's where they're going to be, which is going to stink for the next 2 years.
Yeah,
because they're not going to be doing anything.
I was just stuck for some reason listening to you. And mm-hmm. then also in the back of my mind thinking of that New York Mets starting rotation, that starting pitching that they had.
Back in the 2014-15, yeah.
It feels like it was yesterday mm-hmm. that they had Syndergaard, DeGrom, the Dark
Matt
Knights,
Harvey.
Matt Harvey. Like, yep. Just, and okay, well, that's the team to beat for the next couple of years.
I really thought so.
I really believe that.
The Cubs in 2016.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing. That was another team that I thought, wow, they're going to get to the World Series at least, you know, one more, maybe two times, and that never worked out either.
Which to me screams more and more, you have to win now.
Yes.
There isn't a year, there is no tomorrow, in baseball at least.
Yep, I've been thinking about, interestingly, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Mm. Okay? Paul Skeens is on another level right now. They have Jones, they have the other guy who's amazing. Two really good starters. Who knows how long they're going to last?
Mm-hmm.
You got these two guys. I say go all in right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Pirate, trade everything. Get some bats. Get something going. Go for it, because you have no clue, with pitching especially, how long it's going to be until something bad happens to them.
What expert had the Rangers winning the World Series?
Last year? Yeah, no one.
You know, I mean, you just, why, if you get into the playoffs, and almost everybody gets into the playoffs now,
could be anybody.
It really could be anybody.
Absolutely.
Why not get out there? Because
just try it. Yep.
I am not wishing any of this, but next year, either one of those kids, both those kids could be on Tommy John.
Yep. Blow out their arms. Yep.
In this day and age, it's just, we're just waiting for that to happen. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this since Verlander back in the day when mm-hmm. he was young. Yep. And we just thought the same thing about him. I remember them saying that about him. I could not agree with you more, man. There is the only – tomorrow is for the White Sox, is for teams like that.
Yep.
If you've got talent – I mean, I'm not talking one guy. But when you're talking about Pittsburgh there, mm-hmm. I think is maybe one of the best examples, if not the best example of this, because it isn't just that. You got Cruz at short.
You've got Brian Reynolds. You got other really good players, but you're just missing a few things, like a couple of like power bats. That's what you need. Go for it, man.
And I understand that, look, it can kill your team if you did gut your farm system. Next man up. If you got a good farm system, you can always find talent. Mm-hmm. Look at so many of the teams.
Look at the Rays. Yeah. The perfect example, the Tampa Bay Rays.
Oakland keeps kicking out talent. They got nothing. They don't even have a stadium.
Their owner's deliberately been trying to destroy his own team so he can get, you know, to move, kind of thing.
And they still
have
kicking out all-star talent. Yeah. Like, I mean, you can do it. Get rid of these prospects. And it's not to make light of these kids or these prospects.
No, not at all.
But it's a business. Mm-hmm. And you, the business is winning. The business is the World Series.
You're supposed to do.
Get to the World Series. Do everything you can to get to that, mm-hmm. and especially with what you're talking about with young talent that you mm-hmm. just don't know what's going to happen to.
No, especially pitchers. You don't know.
Ask Cub fans what they thought of Kerry Wood.
Yeah. You know? I mean, Mark Pryor.
They had
two of the best in the game. They got to the playoffs 1 year, and that was it.
We'll wrap up before we go to timeout with our stat of the show. And we're actually going to go in a little bit of a different direction, Seth, because when we come back, I want to talk a little Olympics.
Okay.
And our stat of the show is taking us back to Paris, where Kevin Durant has never dropped 20 points on 100% from the field in any half of his NBA career or his college career. Not in regular season, not in postseason. He just dropped 21 on 8-of-8 shooting off the bench in the first half against Serbia. Incredible.
That's a great stat.
Definitely at the closer to the end than the beginning of his career.
Absolutely.
One of the greatest shooters in NBA mm-hmm. history. Has never had a quarter like that in his career. You don't do that if you're just phoning it in.
Oh, no.
You don't do that the talent level isn't necessarily what you're used to or anything. You do that because you love ball. You do that because you love this country. You love being out there.
You want to represent. Yeah.
I mean, how cool is that to see these? Like, it's one thing to see these four-year athletes. These athletes are gunning for 4 years to get to this moment and everything. To see these million-dollar athletes carrying it, maybe not as much or just as much is never going to get old to me. Like, that's so cool to me.
Here's a question for you. Does the basketball team for the U.S. have the oldest Olympians?
Interesting question.
I don't think they do, because I think there's some other sports and Olympics that actually have older folks in them.
Sure, but still interesting.
I was going to say, because they're not a lot of spring chickens on the basketball team for the U.S. this year. They're a little on the long of the tooth.
And we have normalized 40-year-olds dominating in their sport with Tom Brady, Lionel Messi, some of these athletes and everything. Let it not be lost on anybody that LeBron James and what he is doing at this age and right now, and what he's probably going to do in the NBA season and everything. Mm-hmm. It isn't about liking or disliking the guy. It's just about, like, if you love sports, what he is averaging, what he is doing, averaging a double-double and all these things at his age, it's one thing. But it's also, LeBron started out, and the biggest slight on him was, well, he passes in the last seconds of the game. Oh, he's not that guy you can count on in the last seconds of the game. His legacy is going to go down as a closer, as the guy that you want the ball in his hands at the end of the game, not just because he might make the shot like Jordan, but because he's going to make the right decision in that moment.
Exactly, 100%.
Much like Jordan did passing to Kerr or some things like that. I'm not a big James guy. I'm not a big LeBron guy or anything. But I am enjoying these last years of his career because much like it's similar to how it was with Kobe. I liked Kobe when he came out. I thought Kobe was fun and exciting, and as a kind of dark horse Laker fan, I kind of liked some of the things that were going on there. Mm-hmm. And then he, to be blunt with everybody, gets in trouble with the rape allegations and everything. Mm-hmm. And that's a line in the sand for me.
Yep.
I don't cross that. You do something like that, you're done to me. I'm done with you. But then, last year of his career. And he's owning a lot of these things and conversations about what happened and being very honest about it. He's becoming slowly like the face of like women's young athletics and stuff in basketball and everything, being a coach and with his daughters and some of that stuff. And as a player, I'm enjoying dang it, he was good. God, there was a guy that was fun to watch, and he goes and pulls 80 points in a game, and it's just like, man, that guy's fun to watch. I'm feeling that with LeBron right now, where I'm not the guy I want to go out and have a beer with, not necessarily one of my favorite players or anything, but you have to just marvel at greatness sometimes.
You do. 100%.
And it's one thing if he's doing it in the NBA season to try to get the Lakers another championship and him another one on his resume and all that. Doing it in the Olympics, that's different, man. That's different.
Something else. There's something else to it.
Yeah. It's fun part of the game. We're going to take our first time out. We got one more left. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun. We're able to do that, again, thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Seth and James here with you. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Phone lines are wide open. Call up and join the conversation. 715-424-2600. Love to hear from each and every one of you. Your sports thoughts, your sports feelings. Get in the game. Call up and join us. Just continuing to kind of wrap up our baseball talk, at least for now, unless you guys want to talk some more.
Yep.
Brewers, of course, still in first in the NL Central, 6 games up on the Cardinals. Pirates, Cubs, Reds, all teams to look at, especially if... I don't know if this is lost on anybody, but with Council in Chicago, one thing I certainly seem to remember with Milwaukee being a second-half team, I don't know if that's going to carry over to the north side of Chicago or not, but it'll be interesting. You got Cody Bellinger coming off the injury list and some of those things, so we'll see what happens. But you can make an argument for any of these teams being a challenge to the Brewers. How do you feel out there as Brewer fans? Mm-hmm. Are you worried about any of these teams? I would imagine that St. Louis is a team that none of us ever count out. They are the monster at the end of the movie.
Yep.
You need to empty the clip. You need to make darn sure that monster is not getting back up.
Yeah, and they just made a decent move, too, to get Fetty and to get Tommy Pham, which is kind of lost in the shuffle there.
Absolutely.
But Yeah, they have improved. So what's up, Brewers? What you gonna do?
We got some time left before the deadline, but I am curious to see them do something. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can just rest on Devin Williams coming back. Yep. I do think you have, or the moves that they have made.
The big change for me is Yelich. We have no idea how long he's going to be out, and that's the problem. You need, he was such a big part of the offense. You need someone, one or two people to help at least.
As long as the White Sox are probably not going to be getting back any of these any prospects that I can really hang my hat on or build hope on, I'd love to see them trade Roberts or Crochet to the Brewers. Mm-hmm. If anything, just to see the Brewers get some guys like that and to see those guys actually flourish and do something. I will say one thing I am looking forward to is seeing Michael Kopech in the playoffs.
Mm.
That kid is awesome. Like he ain't much. I know he's a middle reliever and stuff, but I'm a fan of his and his perseverance. His story is interesting to me.
It is.
And to see him pitching very well right now, had an immaculate inning not that long ago.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see him in playoff contention, much like we talk about with other players. Yep. Oh, it'll be cool to see them actually in the playoffs.
Well, he's not the guy with the Dodgers. He's just another one in the bullpen.
Yeah.
I think that's going to help him a lot.
Ooh, yeah. It could, that arm rested, I can't imagine.
He doesn't have to carry the load for the entire bullpen.
And I think you make the argument, in no sport does it matter more a player wanting to be there.
Yeah.
Than in baseball. Mm-hmm. It's a grind. It's a long haul. You're in it. There is no short part.
Games,
You've got to enjoy where you are. I guarantee you are going to see a happier Jazz Chisholm than you may have ever seen in his career. A much more complacent, playing along, working well with others kind of player.
Right.
A lot of those things you're going to see. Actually, Gleyber Torres is the guy who's acting like a jerk right now.
He's probably not going to make it to the Wednesday. So.
And you talk about a guy who, in a contract year, who's got more errors at third than any other player in baseball right now, and he's acting like he's an all-star and he should be given some kind of like that. Some self-awareness here, man. Like,
especially with the Yankees, you think they're gonna come on, they're gonna get rid of you as soon as they can.
They will find a way to move you around and to get rid of you, especially like you said, in that organization.
Mm-hmm.
But I am curious from Brewer fans out there, if you're nervous or wonder about any of these teams coming up, I'm kind of curious about that. Call up, let us know what you're thinking, and certainly your trade deadline thoughts if you have any. Otherwise, moving on to Rafter news. No, Rafters, of course, no game today. Very well deserved day off.
That's probably just as well, considering the weather.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, very true. Good point. Looking at the Great Lakes West Division, no real changes from last time we joined you. Wausau Woodchucks in first place at 17-6, Madison Mallards in second at 16-8, and your Rafters in third at 14-11. We'll keep an eye on the Rockers because they are 8-2 in their last 10. And playing very well right now.
Right, right.
The Rafters have a chance. They got a puncher's chance here right now. They are only four games back, and that is almost nothing in baseball.
They're taking on Wausau, two games starting tomorrow.
You have your future in your hands in these couple of games here. Again, how are you feeling about the Rafters? How are you feeling about how things are looking for them? These next every game is a playoff game for the Rafters going forward. There's no getting around that.
And then there's a lot of turnover right now, a lot of guys having to leave and stuff. So there's that as well. You got to keep that in mind for the last couple of weeks.
And we want to thank Tyler heading us like in the first 2 weeks of the season was talking about how he felt about the second half because a lot of our players were staying when a lot of other teams weren't.
So
shout out to him on that.
Could have a big impact,
We're going to find out starting tomorrow because our Rafters are in Wausau to take on the Woodchucks, first place Woodchucks in the division, and then having them at home on Wednesday.
The Woodchucks are having a heck of a year. I mean, their whole season has been very good.
I like to talk a little trash back and forth because of the rivalry. Right. Shout out to them in that market.
Yep.
It's great to see any of our teams doing well.
Yeah, exactly.
And a credit to that front office, too, and the work that they're doing over there. And on Thursday, we're going to be hosting Kalamazoo with a back-to-back nights. We'll host Kalamazoo on Thursday and Friday.
Right.
Saturday, 2:50 game at Green Bay. Sunday, 12:50 game in Green Bay. And then on Monday, hosting Minnesota at 6:20 right here at Winterfield.
Well, they threw a random game at the end of the season.
It's a weird one.
Because they're in a different division, which is really weird. Hey, whatever.
It's weird there. It's also weird to have Christmas in July, but it's one of our favorite things and favorite promotions. Christmas in July coming up this Wednesday as we take on Wausau at home. It's also Winning Wednesday. Keep those things in mind.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to the game on Wednesday.
Going to be a fun one.
It should be good.
And I do want to send a shout-out to our Raptors. We are obviously homers around here. We love the Raptors. We've played every game the Raptors have ever played right here at this station.
That's
we're
right.
really proud of that. And we're going to keep doing that. And part of why we're proud of that is not only a 2016 championship, mm-hmm. or every year it feels like we're in the running. Mm-hmm. Every year it feels like it. I can't remember years where, well, they're 0-20 and you got no chance or anything. It just feels like this organization just does a good job getting kids to come to this area. And speaking of those kids, when is the last controversy you heard with any of these kids?
None.
Not
at all.
Not just now, but in the history of the Raptors. Mm-hmm. That's really saying something.
It is.
It truly is. And we kind of normalize it, but it's really amazing mm-hmm. to think of. And then there are things like the Raptors do, where they work with local nonprofits, where we have, of course, the United We Can event that we look forward to every year, and stuff like this. The Raptors organization have several promotions that will help us celebrate some of the heroes in this special community.
That's right.
The first heroes recognized will be those working in healthcare. On August 1st, healthcare workers get into the Raptors game free by showing their badge.
Very cool.
Fans will also be treated to a special healthcare worker, Roscoe Bobblehead, at 6:35.
I love the theme. Roscoe Bobbleheads, those are awesome.
Yeah. We need more of them up here.
We don't have enough, man.
Yeah,
we need more.
After a collection up here. We need more of those. And, of course, there is August 6th, I want to do this in order here. Other special ones. August 2nd, heroes and youth baseball players, coaches, and umpires with the Raptors Youth Sports Association get in free. Fireworks at the end of the game.
Very nice.
August 5th, Military Monday, honoring our retired and active duty military with free entrance into the game as well as free hot dog. Special military jerseys will go on auction. And keep in mind, those they've done this differently now, where you can start auctioning on the
online.
As soon as they open up, you can get on those bids.
Mm-hmm.
I love those special jerseys.
Those
Man,
are very cool.
I'm a sucker for those. And earlier today on Midday Magazine, we had Detective Davin in with us, mm-hmm. and we were talking with Eric about National Night Out, honoring our local law enforcement. Doing it a little different this year.
Yeah.
And if you ask me, and Eric and I were thinking, man, this is a pretty cool way to do this. This is done throughout the whole country, National Night Out.
Yes, it is.
All of our local police mm-hmm. departments. Why not combine our Raptors with this and be able to have not only a really good time, but bring some awareness and some attention to those wearing the badge.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great night where we get to honor local law enforcement, attend the National Night Out festivities in the parking lot prior to the game, 3 to 6, and receive free entrance into the game for doing so.
Wow.
Fans will also be treated to a special police officer, Roscoe Bobblehead. Gotta get one of those, man. I want to say a shout out to Gamber Johnson for sponsoring this event mm-hmm. and helping with the ticket sales and with some of that. This is why we encourage you to buy local, support those that support us. I'm not just talking about WFHR when I say support us. I'm talking about our community. Mm-hmm. That includes the Raptors and things like this.
Yep.
That's a point organization doing this. A shout out to them for doing so. That's mm-hmm. pretty cool. We'll talk more about this as we get closer to it. Also on August 7th, celebrating our heroes in education. Teachers get into the game free by showing their badge. They will honor the Skyward Unsung Hero of the Year, Janine Clemen from Lincoln High School.
Ooh, yeah.
She's an art teacher over there. Shout
nice.
Out to Janine. Fans will be treated to a special art teacher, Roscoe Bobblehead. There will be random prize drawings at each hero's game. There will also be more details to come. They do a great job with these, with promotions and soda and food deals.
Yep.
There is so much to find out at northwoodsleague.com. And if you can't make it to the ballpark, keep in mind, every hit, every pitch, every win a Raptor baseball right here where it belongs at WFHR.
Yes, indeed.
Going to be a fun, no matter what happens, it's going to be a fun marathon to the end of the season.
Yeah, sure is.
I feel very confident saying that this team is going to be competitive running to the end of the season.
Yep.
And we're at least going to be in the running. I don't see that changing.
Yeah.
And we got some talent out there that's
oh my
fun
gosh.
To watch.
Man, I forget his name, but there's a guy who's been on a tear. He has an OPS of 1/1100.
I know exactly what you're talking
and
about.
And in 27 games, he's been on fire. I mean, this kid is, wow.
Yeah, you've got a lot of fun players
yes.
there. I have a feeling that we may be looking back at this team and some of the talent on this team and being like, oh, I remember when they played here.
Yep.
It's going to be pretty fun to see.
It's a couple in the bigs right now, as a matter of fact. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. Follow along at northwoodsleague.com, northwoodsleague.com. We will take our final timeout, but that's okay. I think we can make it to the end of the game without
we'll
a timeout. Yeah, I think we're not burning. We're not wasting them, I don't think. We'll find out. Coming up on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Welcome back, everyone, to Playmakers on WFHR. Timed it wrong. Timed it wrong.
Oh, well.
Timed it wrong.
Nobody's perfect.
We appreciate you being back, everybody. Judges gave that one an 8.5. And the French judge a 0. Come on. I want to talk a little Olympics before we wrap up. We are going to take it to the top of the hour. I'd rather talk to you. Call up 715-424-2600. Join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you, everybody. We cannot finish our show without mentioning that Jordan Love's contract has been signed.
Yep.
Our national day of drama is over. It does look like
he's going to be a rich man.
With the timing of it, it does seem like that. If not, this was the case. It was just a coincidence, which I have a hard time believing. But waiting for the Tua deal to get done and kind of going above that,
they had the same representation.
Yeah. So whatever
I'm thinking, there wasn't.
Was,
yeah.
They were going to make that deal a little sweeter than the Tua deal, and yep. So you can't make that deal until that Tua deal is official.
Yeah.
So it does seem like that. I am curious of how Packer fans feel about this now. You know, and we can keep this question open from now until the end of the year. I am curious of how you guys feel about this deal. Because not only is it done, it's the biggest deal in quarterback history.
Right.
And this is saying something, because regardless of how, you know, you think it's he deserves it or he doesn't or all of that, there's plenty of that going on right now. What I can't stop marveling at, sitting here and looking at that, the smallest team in all of professional sports in the whole world has twice had the biggest contract in sports.
Yeah.
Twice they've done it. They did it with Rodgers, and they've done it now with Love.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, and this could be changing in the end of this sentence. Dak Prescott or somebody else could sign a deal.
I got a feeling it's going to be coming. But still,
For the moment. That not only obviously speaks to the health of the NFL, but it speaks to a franchise that has got to be being run pretty darn well if you can afford to do that.
Yeah.
And I got to think, as if you're a Packer fan, you could take some pride in that, regardless of if you think he's worth it or not.
Right.
Side note, none of them are. They're playing a kid's game for a living, for God's sake. The average quarterback, his actual time on the field is like 10 minutes or something.
Right.
Nobody is worth
but
that.
Because of that popularity.
Outside
I mean,
of like teachers
yeah,
and
right.
doctors and some of these things you could make an argument for and all that.
Right.
But I will say in the perspective of things and the fact that, you know, the team is going to continue to make big money. These players deserve to make
either
money.
Either way, right, yeah. So
you
should play the people that everyone's coming to see. You know, it makes sense to me, right? Yeah.
And I think that it's a given that if he wins a Super Bowl, it's a return on your investment.
Totally worth it. Totally worth it.
And it's also fair, I think, to say that if there is not a Super Bowl, it is not worth it.
Yeah.
And nothing changes that.
No.
I don't think you can – I don't think that you can – If whether you're a player, whether you're a fan, and certainly whether you're management, you can look at it much differently.
Right.
It gets pretty simple once that happens.
Yeah.
Hey, win a Super Bowl, I don't care what you're making. I'll give you some money. You know, that kind of thing. Don't win a Super Bowl. It dwarfs your franchise for a decade.
Yeah.
It hurts you for a while. Now, if you're a smart-run franchise, you can survive most anything.
Mm-hmm.
How the Packers were able to get out from under that albatross contract of Rodgers, they pulled that off.
They sure did.
So far, so good. Now, you put yourself in a tough position because you gave the rookie deal and all that, and it's going to be harder.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also something to be said for elevating talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I look at what Harbaugh's doing right now in San Diego, and he's looking at a quarterback that can make almost anybody good. So why not get rid of your receivers and get some draft picks and add some defense?
Yep.
Who knows if it's going to work, but I see what he's doing.
Right.
It makes sense to me. If Green Bay's, you know, argument is Jordan Love, now it's on Jordan Love. He's that kind of talented where he is that guy that can make your average receiver a all-pro. A la Favre, a la Rodgers, you know, continuing on with that. We'll see if he can do it. But right now, whether you trust Jordan Love or not, you got to trust the front office, I would think.
Yeah, and sometimes you just got to take it. You just got to take it. You just got to do what the Bears did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if Justin Fields was on the way up or whatever. You gotta go for the chance. You gotta take the chance that maybe you got Patrick Mahomes again. You know, I mean, the odds are against it, but you never know.
The unique position that the Packers were in, where going for the win with Rodgers, and so you have an almost not ready-made team, but sort of ready-made team, at least ready coming out of the box to do some damage, at least, and make it competitive. And then you bring a quarterback in, and he's going to work out. oh, it looks like this kid's the real deal. Now he elevates that team that was average to a better than average team, and now you're doing something. Now all bets are off. Same thing we said with baseball. You get into the dance. Just get
all you
invited
need
to the dance, and everything is different from
unless
there.
You're playing the Chiefs, and then you're done. But anyway,
there's no chance whatsoever. I don't care if Patrick Mahomes is 100. I'm not counting that young
out. Not anymore. I learned my lesson last year.
You know, it's also I'm not saying that he just necessarily deserves a pat on the back or anything, but they're trying to egg him on. Hey, you're making $35 million a year now. You're one of the lower paid quarterbacks and stuff. And he's like, I don't care, man.
Making $35 million.
Are you going to renegotiate your contract like Rodgers or something? No. I'm good. We're trying to win a Super Bowl over here. We're trying to win three in a row. Like, he's got his head on right. He also is going to make $63 million next year.
I was going to say, to be fair, getting those Super Bowls makes it feel all right.
Yeah.
It's like, who cares if I don't get paid? Look at all these rings, man.
Ask the Chiefs organization if they feel like they've made a return on their investment in Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, maybe not if they because of the new stadium thing.
Fair point.
But that's not Patrick Mahomes' fault. That's nothing to do with him.
Well, there's the thing. Now you did it, man, because I was off of the White Sox talk. I was off of that. But then this comes up. I had another stat of the show I wanted to
do. Oh, okay. All right.
I heard their Kevin Durant one earlier today, and I wanted to get to that. Shout out to Dan Lebatard, my guy in audio, my biggest influence in audio. I love Dan. I wanted to get to this. Do people out there, is this common knowledge, Seth? Jerry Reinsdorf has something in his will that when he passes, the Chicago Bulls are going to go to his son. The Chicago White Sox are up for bidding if they don't have a new stadium.
Really?
If they have a new stadium, it's supposed to stay in the family. If they don't, the team is going to be up for bid, and they could be moved or
whoever wants it.
Highest bidder, second team in Vegas. For I don't know. The way the
Nashville keeps knocking.
Right, Jerry even went to Nashville.
I know.
To try to threaten.
They always go to Nashville to jack up the price.
You know, as if there wasn't enough kick in the pants as a White Sox fan. There's that little chestnut. I will not root for them if they go to a different city, by the way.
I wouldn't. No, why would you?
I won't root for any baseball team. I'll be done.
You'll just be an uninterested observer.
I'm going to be walking around with an MLB symbol baseball cap. Yeah. You're on the show. You're in the game. What's on your mind?
So, in other words, you'll just be like Angel Hernandez as an umpire?
Now, how dare you? What have I done to you to put me and Angel Hernandez?
He's gone anyway. He's retired. Just leave him alone.
That was pretty good.
No, but I was thinking about this White Sox Chicago Bears thing. What if the South Side and the North Side could come together and do the thing in Arlington, make them one big complex? That way, they can tap into the taxpayer money.
Yeah. I'm not one of these people that your team has to stay in this original stadium or they have to be in the city. When I was a kid, I felt that way.
Oh,
all bets are off now. All bets are off.
Yeah.
If they are in the state, we'll take it. You got the California
the Springfield
Anaheim,
White Sox.
Santa Fe Angels. You've got the Dallas Cowboys in Arlington. We got two New York franchises in football that have never played a game in the state of New York, in the city of New York. They play all their games in Jersey.
Giants did play at Yankee Stadium for a while. But that's in the Bronx.
You're right, though. Yeah.
That's in the Bronx.
I don't know. If it keeps the White Sox in Chicago, sort of.
Jackie Robinson never moved west. He retired.
That's right.
Yeah. That's true.
He almost ended up with the Giants, too, by the way. I don't know if people know that.
That'd have been interesting.
But he retired. Anyway.
Always good talking to you, man.
Oh, and by the way, Bo Jackson ended up with the Angels.
That's right. He did.
You
nice
need an Angels jersey
deep
with
cut.
Him.
Man.
Love you guys.
Love you too, man. Thank you. Appreciate you. That's a good call. That was a good one. I'm curious where we go with the Jordan Love conversation going forward. I think it's going to be interesting, but I do think that something that hasn't been said maybe in the history of the NFC North, it is really exciting to look at the quarterbacks.
Nobody has ever said that.
I think it is. And now, this could change by October.
Of course.
But right now, I think when you look at all
massive
four
injuries.
Teams. First off, Jordan Goff is the veteran, which is crazy, but he has been playing great.
Yeah.
He just signed a new deal.
Sam Darnold.
There is Minnesota. But I'm curious to see what happens with McCarthy.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold is nothing to sneeze at, and just only in the respect of there isn't that much out there at quarterback.
No, there really isn't.
And in comparison, when it comes to backup QBs, which I'm sorry, I know he's starting, but I look at him as a backup. Yeah. Not so bad. Not so bad.
Yeah.
Now, I will say that I am excited to see what happens with J.J. McCarthy. Mm-hmm. He's certainly a project, but at least there's some hope and excitement there.
Yep, I think so.
And obviously, Caleb Williams, we don't know yet. We got to see what this young man is going to do in the NFL. But by all rights, it looks exciting.
Is he going Young or Stroud? Mm. Ooh, which way is he going?
Yeah. And then, of course, Jordan Love, as we've talked about, is arguably the next heir apparent in the division for a quarterback. So we'll see.
He's got to prove it to me first. I know he had a great run, but... I don't know. It's only half a season.
Oh, I don't think you're alone in that. I think you're a smart Green Bay fan. I think that they're thinking the same thing. I think that they're like, well, I like the kid, but I ain't getting his jersey yet. I'm not naming my dog Love yet.
Although Love, I mean, you could push that to the side though. It's not like Rodgers. True. Say Love. No, it's just I love him so much.
Right, there you go. Yeah, exactly. You get away with it. Jordan, you got a lot of options there.
There you
too.
Go too. Yeah.
A little different day. Thank you for a great show, everybody. Thank you, Seth.
Yeah. No problem.
We'll be back Wednesday with more Playmakers right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.